All right, I'm going to have you turn into John chapter number 18 this morning, if you will. John chapter number 18. Now, Brother Jack was about partially right. And the reason why I say that is because I know of one person in the basement, Marianne, that you could sing Christmas songs all year long. She would not get tired. How many of y'all are like that? There's a few of you, see? There you go. All right. So there are a few, Jack. You won't wear them out. If you will, John chapter 18, I'm going to begin reading in verse number 28. This is when Jesus is brought before Pilate. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas under the hall of judgment. And it was early, and they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, "What accusation bring ye against this man?" They answered and said unto him, "If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee." Then said Pilate unto them, "Take ye him, and judge him according to your law." The Jews therefore said unto him, "It is not lawful for us to put any man to death." That the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spake, signifying what death he should die. Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence." Pilate therefore said unto him, "Art thou a king then?" Jesus answered, "Thou sayest I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Every one that is of the truth heareth my voice." Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and saith unto them, "I find in him no fault at all. But ye have a custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Will ye therefore that I release unto you the king of the Jews?" Then cried they all again, saying, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. God, we ask that as we study today that you might show us about truth, about your kingdom. God, work in hearts and lives, doing what you need to do in us. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. And y'all may be seated. Now, how many of y'all have ever thought, "Well, if I had been there, it would have been done differently"? Well, no, it wouldn't have. As a matter of fact, if you noticed there in verse number 37, Jesus said that he came to this world with this purpose. "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." You, me, none of us could have changed the events of that day. And while they are horrifying, may I also say, praise the Lord. Because if God hadn't done that for us, you and I are hopeless, aren't we? Yeah, absolutely. So Jesus before Pilate is one of the great mysteries of the Bible. You say, well, why is that? Well, how could the Jews give God over to the world? And how could the Jews treat one of their own so horribly? As we go through this, you'll find out that God has completely specified how things are to be handled. And there's no way to handle things like this and say we're doing right. And when you look at those two thoughts, how could we give Jesus over to the world? How could we treat one of our own so badly? It causes us to have to view the ugliness of sin. We like sin that's not as bad, don't we? Come on, be honest. We don't want it to be that bad. It's not good, but let's not call it bad, right? The events of the scripture here are easy. But what's important here is not to see the Jews, but to see ourselves. To put ourselves into this situation. To see how we could have been willing and able to betray our Savior. To see how we, like they, like Pilate, would deny the truth. And then how we would hold on to our sin no matter the consequences. Now everybody's got a sin that we hold on to, don't we? No matter the consequences. Scary, isn't it? Hard. So let's begin verses 28 down through about verse 32 where they hand Jesus over. And you have to stop and consider this and think, okay, the one who is to be our Savior, the one who is to lead us out of this low place where we are, the one who is to save us from our sin, the one who is our true King, and we give him over to the world as if he's just another worldling. Jesus is given to Pilate, Pontius Pilate. Now, Pontius Pilate was the Roman governor of Judea, okay? So he's got that area in central Israel. He is the ruler there. Israel at that time is occupied by a foreign government. They are ruled by Rome, which at that time ruled most of the known world. Now, Pilate was a hard person. He detested the Jews, and even more, he detested their religion. That is not the type of person you want ruling over you, correct? Yeah. And the Jewish citizens are handing Jesus over to that guy. Now, that can't be considered normal under any circumstances, can it? Pilate did not want his time taken up with these trivial matters, so he asks very quickly, he says, what is the accusation? It's like he doesn't even believe it from the very beginning. And if you begin to read this, it's just amazing all the things that you read. If you notice here in verse number 28, the Jews themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. The Jews wouldn't go into what's called the praetorium, where the judgment hall was. It's an area where Gentiles gathered and weren't. And if you notice what it says here, lest they should be defiled. There's no Jewish law against them going into an area where there's Gentiles. They made this up. It's man-made religion. There are no rules about that. They just didn't like going in there, and they thought, we don't want to be defiled. Look, rules don't stop defilement. Holiness in Christ does. And what's around us does not defile us. It's what's in us that defiles us. Amen? You don't fix the world to fix you. Fix you to fix the world. It's a back, we are kind of backwards, aren't we? Yeah. So they wouldn't go in even to accuse their Messiah. And notice this at the end of verse 28 also, but that they might eat the Passover. So their mindset is this: look, we're going to not go in there because we don't want to be defiled, because we want to eat the Passover. That teaches us something. The Lord's Supper, when it was instituted, was not instituted on the Passover. Jesus held his beforehand. Now that'll come up important in the month of December, and as we go through the rest of this chapter, when we speak about Jesus and his death, his burial, and his resurrection. So, they also said this, notice verse 31. It is not lawful for us to put any man to death. Okay, the first lie was they couldn't go in there because they didn't want to be defiled. This is the second lie. Because you can read in Numbers 13, Deuteronomy chapter 17, Leviticus chapter 17, Leviticus chapter number 24, God's rules on taking a life and dealing with the law and when you have to punish someone. God was pretty specific about it. You know what? They did have a way of taking a life in the right manner, in the right way. Can I tell you that stoning is preferable to the cross? Stoning doesn't last very long. And I know it sounds harsh, but it's a lot better than the cross. And for them to give up Jesus to the cross was a horrible, horrible event, especially for one who had never sinned. Never. Had never done anything wrong. Now the accusation of the Jews is very, very simple here. Verse number 30. If he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. So as you study the word malefactor, it means somebody who commits evil. But that could be anything from a white lie to the axe murderer. So it covers quite a range, doesn't it? In other words, they're not being specific here because there was no real charge. And verse number 32 tells us that Jesus understood that they would do this because he knew that he was going to go to the cross and die for us, which is against the law of God. You know, the Bible does tell us this. It tells us that sinners are worthy of death, but not the sinless one. Romans tells us we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then it goes on to say the wages of sin is death. That's us, but not him. Now, Pilate must have known somewhat what's going on. The Romans had spies everywhere. Pilate said in verse number 31, take ye him and judge him according to your law. It's like he's saying, look, this charge of malefactor is not getting him put on a cross. Nothing here worthy of death has been done. Now the other gospels fill in some of the details for us. And Pilate does choose to speak to Jesus again. And verse 33, he begins to talk about the fact that he is called a king. And the Jews had done that in hopes that Pilate would therefore see him as a threat. So Pilate and Jesus get together here, beginning verse 33, down through verse number 38, and they begin to speak, and they talk back and forth. And Pilate is trying to establish who Jesus is. He says, "Art thou the king of the Jews?" Now notice how he asked that. Not, "Are you king of the world, Caesar?" Not, "Are you king of Rome? Are you the king of the Jews?" To him, he didn't care. If you're a leader with the Jews, you're like Caiaphas or Annas or any one of the other Jewish people that if Pilate wants, can have them thrown into prison for no reason, correct? So he is trying to establish who he is, and he's also establishing power. But if you notice what Jesus does, he begins to question Pilate's beliefs. He says in verse number 34, "Do you think this? Or did somebody tell you this?" There's a reason why he asked this question. It's the most important question that God has ever asked you. Y'all ready for the question? Am I your king? That's what he's asking. Am I your king? Because we have to have Jesus Christ as the king of our lives. Because without him, we have no heavenly king. He's the only king of heaven. Amen. And if you go for any other ruler, you're not going for the king. As a matter of fact, there is another ruler, but he's only a prince. Y'all remember the story of David and Absalom? Absalom is David's son and tries to take the kingdom, doesn't he? Tries to pull it away from David. But there's one problem with that. David was ordained of God. Do you know that Christ means the anointed one? The one chosen of God? The other king or other ruler is actually just a prince. And in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 2, he's called the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan. Just a prince. He's not the king. Now, he'll try to set himself up as a king, just like Absalom did, just like the Jews were trying to do. There's only one king. Now, Pilate looks at Jesus in verse number 35, and he says, when he says, "Am I a Jew?" he's saying, "I'm not a Jew. I'm not the one that handed you over. No, you're not the king. I am the king. I'm the one that's got the power here." Isn't that what he's saying? I'm the one that's going to determine what happens with your life. And he's saying, "Jesus, you don't have power. You don't have authority." And then Jesus says, "You don't understand. Let me tell you about my power and my authority." And in verse number 36, he says, "I am a king. My kingdom has no earthly origins whatsoever. My kingdom is one that wields power over hearts and lives. My kingdom is one that cannot be arrested. It cannot be overpowered by force." You see, you can't stop God. Can't change his plans. So here you've got Pilate. He's trying to establish his power. But notice what Jesus establishes. And the next thing that he says to Pilate is verse number 37. He says, "Thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world." You're right, I am. And then he says that I should bear witness unto the truth. I am the King of truth. Now, the word aletheia, which is truth in the Greek language, is kind of a unique word. It's not really truth. It means that which is not hidden. In other words, you're seeing reality. You're seeing what really is. And Jesus says, I came to the world to show you the way things really are. Not the way that Rome saw it with all of their might and all their physical power and their ability to subjugate people through their power. And he says, no, that's not it. He says, and not like the Jews through a religion that has rules that actually go against what the real rules are. We can't go into the praetorium. We can't kill anybody. All those silly things that they were believing. And so Jesus says, I've come to this world to show you the truth. And no matter what anyone claims, there is what we believe, and there is the real truth. That's the truth of God. There is truth. It's God's truth. It cannot be controverted. It cannot be manipulated. It is revealed in the Word of God. It is, so to speak, etched in stone, written in ink, and it will not change. That's the beauty of this. I'm glad for that. And those that seek truth will hear one voice, the voice of God. Aren't you glad for that? So Jesus came to bear witness of the truth. Now notice Pilate's response. Verse 38. What is truth? What we will see here is this. First of all, it's kind of similar to what Pharaoh did back in Exodus chapter 5 when he says, who is the Lord? What is truth? It's that mentality, isn't it? But I want you to get this thought. His society in that day is no different than our society is today. We're going to see a similarity that says, wow, you're right, it's the same thing. Pilate believed in what you might call relativism or relative truth. And relativism says that a society or the people in the society get to determine what truth is for themselves. Therefore, every society would have a little bit different truth. Does that sound familiar to what our world is today? Everybody believes their own truth? Yeah. Well, that's relativism. But that also says, because we determine what truth is, then God can't determine what truth is. And therefore, God can't tell me what to do. It's a long ways to go around and try and justify ourselves. But there is one problem. There is truth, and it remains, and we can't change it, can't we? Now, Pilate, because of this, he can't really condemn Jesus. What is truth? And now he's going to go immediately and say to the Jews, I find in him no fault at all. And ladies and gentlemen, this is exactly what we've got in our court system and in our judicial system today, is that there are a lot of people that never come to court for committing a crime because you've got prosecutors and you got judges that think relatively when it comes to truth, and they say, well, you can't condemn him. He was only stealing to provide for himself. He only killed him because he was trying to steal his tent space downtown, right? Come on. That's the way things are going, aren't they? We're no different. Our lives We're going the same way. So now what you see is the reality of what's going on. The Romans, like us today, they remove people, they put them in prison because they either are someone that is a threat against their power or they're a nuisance. Martin Hengel wrote a book on the crucifixion. And I don't know if he was trying to write about relativism or not, but he quoted this ancient literature and it just nailed the thought. A wife says, "Put the slave on the cross." The husband replies, "What crime merits this punishment?" The wife says, You demented person, do you think a slave is a human being? I want this. I order this. Let my will be the reason." Scary, isn't it? How many of y'all say, I can see that in our society and coming that way? Yeah. So it shows us how their society, our society, we're extremely close. Then we end this up in the verses with verse 39 and 40, and we see the Jews unwilling to give up on their sin. I put they're sold out to Satan. There's this last chance in verse number 39 that Pilate gives to them. He says, look, you got this custom that I should release unto you one at the Passover. Now I can release unto you this one. Now, Pilate had tried a lot harder than we are seeing in the book of John. Remember, Pilate saw him, finds out he's a Galilean, sends him to Herod. Herod sends him back to Pilate, correct? So he has done everything he can to try to find him not guilty. And he finally says, okay, I can release him unto you because you have this custom. And look at their response in verse 40. Not this man. It's a lot of our world, isn't it? Not this man. Why? Because he tells truth. Because our sin is not hidden in front of him. Because we find out through him there's one way to heaven, and it's through him. The next chapter they'll be screaming, crucify him. And they seek to have Barabbas released rather than Jesus. There's two major thoughts I want us to get today, and we can look at them, and I want you to think about what it means to live in truth, to accept God's truth. Out of verse 36, he says, my kingdom is not of this world. And then he says, very simply, he says, if my kingdom were of this world, then my servants should fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence, but now. And I want you to think about that thought, but now, that it's not from hence. It's not on earth. And ladies and gentlemen, you and I, we are not living in the kingdom of heaven. Did you know that? Yeah. But that kingdom has two stages that are important to you and me. In Luke 17, verse 21, Jesus said, neither shall they say, lo, here, or lo, there, for behold, The kingdom of God is within you. Ladies and gentlemen, when you and I get saved and the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in this life, God's here. The kingdom of God is with us. Amen? And you and I are taking the kingdom of God to this world. Spiritually, we are to take God's kingdom and overtake the world with truth. We're not supposed to do like Pilate. We're not supposed to try to conquer the world by force. Amen? We're supposed to conquer by truth. And it is important that we understand that the kingdom of God currently is within us. Now, the kingdom of God is coming. And Jesus Christ himself will come to this earth. And he will physically reign. That's the second stage that's left. Amen? I'm looking forward to that. How many of y'all? I think it'll be a blessing when God rules on this earth. But don't let the world tell you that the kingdom of God does not exist. It exists within you. We have a king. We have a ruler greater than all the rulers on earth when we submit ourselves to Jesus Christ. Second thought today, truth. It is established. I'd like you to go back to verse number 37. He says, "Thou sayest, I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth." Now watch this last sentence here, verse 37. "Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice." Now, if you're a parent or you own a dog, there's a difference between hearing and listening. You can call a dog, and sometimes it won't come. Amen? It heard you. It's got dog hearing. It hears good. It's kind of like the day that I opened the door and Daisy ran across to go chase that rabbit, Bob. And I was calling Daisy. She did not listen, did she? She heard. She knew what she was doing. The rabbit was more important than I was. I understand with a dog. The word "hear" that's used in this verse is the same as in John chapter 10, verse 3, when Jesus said, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out." The sheep hear his voice. Ladies and gentlemen, because we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ, because truth is established, you and I need to hear it. How many of y'all have done this? You've been reading your Bible, and you get to the end of the chapter, and you have no idea what was in that chapter, because you read, but you didn't read. Right? Ladies and gentlemen, truth. The only truth. The truth which also reveals all the glories of God that we can know. The truth that reveals the blessings of living in a relationship with Him. The truth that converts us from sinner to saint. The truth that makes us free. That's a truth worth having, isn't it? But are we listening? Do we really hear? And I worry about me. I worry about you. I worry about all of us that sometimes God's word is being declared, God's word is being read, God's word's being studied, and we're just kind of missing it all. But it also tells us one last thing about truth. How many of you all have heard somebody use this as an excuse, as if it gets them out of everything? I didn't know. We talked about the rich man and Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. The rich man was in hell, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. He never once said, I don't belong here. You know why? He knew the truth. He knew the truth. You and I know the truth, ladies and gentlemen. If you're here this morning and somehow you've never asked Jesus Christ to be your Savior, you know the truth. He died for your sins. You know the truth. He rose from the grave and overcame death. You know the truth. You have to humble yourself before Him and ask Him to forgive you in order to be saved. Nobody can do that for you. There's nothing that anybody else can do to make you saved. The only person that can accept the truth is you. Me. And I implore you, do not walk out the door if you don't know Christ as your Savior. And then for us that are saved, we need to accept and to live God's truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know how else to say it. It's no longer playtime. Come on. Look at the world around us. How many of y'all know? Come on, be real honest. Raise your hand on this one. I want to see it. You know somebody that has died and gone to hell. Yes. Scary, isn't it? Yes, it is. Ladies and gentlemen, very scary. We got to tell more. We got to live truth. We got to be truth on this earth. The kingdom of God to others. Whatever God is trying to do in your life, listen. Hear. Do. Amen? And I don't know what God's talking to you about specifically, but I know He's speaking. So as we have this time of invitation, if you need just to pray, pray. Spend some time. Commit yourself and say, God, I'm going to do what you've been asking me to do. I'm going to quit fighting against it. I'm going to surrender to you. If you're here this morning and you cannot say without a doubt, I'm going to heaven, then let's take God's word. Let's see what God has to say about being saved. And let's have you turn to Him today for that forgiveness you need. Amen? Amen? Father, we do ask that you would bless this morning. As we have studied in your word, you preserve this because we need it. You preserve this so you could teach us. God, help us to take the truths that we have learned and apply them to our lives. For we ask you, we pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. We are going.